Today's episode of the Startup Diary is sponsored by Fidus Information Security. Being awarded a Cyber Essentials Plus certificate with the help of Fidus Information Security opens up a whole host of new opportunities for your business.
You've got to tell me more.
I'm going to tell you more. This government scheme allows businesses to work with public sector agencies such as the Ministry of Defence, and it also serves as a benchmark for how to keep your business safe online.
Harry, but how can someone go about getting a Cyber Essentials Plus certificate?
You are asking all the right questions today, Adam. You have to complete a questionnaire and have both an internal and external infrastructure vulnerability scan.
Sounds technical.
It's like going to the airport, but a little bit more frisky. This means that your emails will be tested to see how they respond to malware, your devices will be assessed for holes in their security, and your computers will be tested for malicious file downloads.
And we all know those emails that we want to open because it's like, I'm owed this by HMRC. You're really not.
All of this needs to be tested by security experts such as Fidus.
Now, Harry, this sounds like something our listeners definitely need to pay attention to. Tell me you negotiated a deal with these guys.
Oh, 100%, mate. So, listeners of this podcast can receive a £600 discount, meaning your business could be awarded a Cyber Essentials Plus certificate for as little as £1,200.
That's a bargain, mate.
It's an absolute steal. Visit sd.fidusinfosec.com for more information. That's sd.fidusinfosec.com.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Startup Diary podcast. In this episode, we answer a listener question, which is all about if you wake up tomorrow and you've got no money in a bank and the business went bankrupt, what on earth would you do? And stay tuned because I flip this one back on Harry to work out if I fired him tomorrow, what would his strategy be? Enjoy.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 277 of the Startup Diary. I am Harrison Mudge, and I'm with my co-host, Adam Callow.
I love your intros, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. Today, Adam, we have a question that came in through the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/startupdiaryclub,
or as you know, because I don't like the URL, just go to Facebook and search for
Startup Diary Club.
You know, we got told off for talking over each other by a listener. They're like, guys, one person drives
the car. Yeah,
but
that's what it's all about.
They're like, I knew it, didn't I? One person drives the car. On that note, Alison and Shane asked us to just mention something. When you join the group,
yes,
guys, when you join the group, there's a bunch of you that have joined the group, and thank you. We're nearly 100 active members right now. But there's also a lot of you that have not been allowed in yet because there's three questions to answer. Can you hear my voice going slowly?
I can hear it. I will fill in for you, though. I will take the wheel of this vehicle. Basically, long story short, there's a couple of simple questions to ask. I believe it's something like, where did you hear about us? And then two others. Can't remember off the top of my head. Super simple, though. Basically, if you don't answer them, you don't get in.
Exactly. If you haven't got the time to answer those three questions, do not apply for the group, people, because it's all about adding value. Yeah. It's an amazing group, and we're doing a meetup. When you listen to this, the meetup will probably be that Saturday. When does this go live, Harry, this show?
This goes live on the 7th. This will go live next week, so no, the week after, 23rd.
We have a meetup in Tamworth.
It's in like 2 weeks from the time.
If you're a listener of this show based in the UK and you want to do anything entrepreneurial, you want to meet some amazing people, get yourself into the Facebook group to start with. And then if you can make it to Tamworth, it's well connected on a train. It's like £10 from London. Guys, Tamworth, 23rd. Come and meet the community.
Of Feb.
We're doing it 23rd of Feb, thank you. We're doing a hot seat, which basically means come talk about your business. There's going to be loads of smart people in the room that are going to help you tackle your big problems. Then we're going to go and probably get some food and a couple of drinks together. Anyway, over to the show.
Yes. So we had a question come through the Facebook group from Amir. It was part of a larger post, but we'll just jump. This was probably sparked from episode 275, I think, when we spoke about spending money when we made it big. When we make it big, if we ever make it big. That's the day. But anyway, he asks, in the end, I would like to ask you, Adam, what would you do if you woke up one day with no money in the banks and your company is bankrupt? Would you go back to a full-time job or do it all over again?
Okay. So, genuinely have not prepped anything for this show because I wanted it to be like, when I saw this, I was like, that's a great question. We should talk about this when it's fairly raw. The first thing that came to my mind, actually, is if I woke up and no money in the banks. I love how he said banks as well. Like, I've got multiple. Like Cayman Islands. No, I'm joking.
Swedish and all that.
So, if I woke up, no money in the bank, company's bankrupt, I think it would make for a whole series of fantastic podcasts to explain.
Which you can sponsor at
100%. Like we'd be hammering people for sponsorship of the show at that point in time. But I think one thing that me and Harry have always discussed, the beautiful thing about the podcast is it's not tied in directly to the one business that we're in. Mm. Because being a startup, and we don't like to say this because it sounds super cliche, it is genuinely a journey. Like, we've tried to build this thing, we've bootstrapped it, seed fund, VC, grow the team, and I might bet the company in a year's time on the wrong thing and it sends us under. Like, that can happen.
Usually red 36.
It's red 32. No, red is a 36 number. I think they're both 32 and 36.
Nailed it.
Yes. So when I go to Vegas and on my Instagram, you can see that I've checked in to the Bellagio. You go, fuck, this could be the end. But I think one thing that we're always going to be doing is documenting what we're doing at that point in time, whether it's the expert trades, whether it's the next startup, or whether it's the time in between. Because one thing that I know about myself is I am an entrepreneur at heart. I am unemployable and I would really desperately struggle to go and work for someone. It would have to be someone tackling a huge problem, super inspirational and motivational, and someone that I think I could learn a lot from. So let's just say I'm 30 years old. It would have to be something really compelling for me to go and work for someone else at this point in time. So, don't know how long this show is going to go, and I don't know what questions you've got, if any, off the back of it.
Well, before you go off on a tangent, I wanted to just bring it back a little bit and be very literal.
Okay.
As in, you've got no money.
Yep.
Anywhere.
Yep.
Not a bean. Where'd you make your first 20 quid to buy food for the family?
Oh, we're going literally back to that.
Yeah. Like, obviously, you've got stuff in the house that you'd probably sell, but I mean, let's assume that you need to generate revenue beyond just selling the tat that's in the loft.
Yeah, so I think
how did you get that ball rolling?
I've got an unfair advantage to most people that listen to this show, and what I mean by that is I am a fantastic salesperson. I know I am. So I'm fairly dangerous in one respect because I'm a great salesperson and I've had the luxury of running my own business for 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. I know I could pick up the phone and I could sell a consulting service. I would go back to that, okay, how I started. I would sell a consulting service to 10 different companies, charging them £500 a month, and I'd make £5,000 a month. Mm. Like, that's what I'd do if I went back. So for anyone listening to this show and they're like, that's great for you, Adam, how does that relate to me? Work out what you're really good at. Because one of the things when you start a business is you're really good at something and then you become jack of all trades because you need to. And what I've spent my time doing now is sort of focus back in on what I'm good at, surrounding myself with other people, great people, to do good work that makes my time more available so I can focus on what I'm really, really strong at. So I know regardless of what happens in this business, I have got a skill set that is I can monetize in the future. Mm. So that's personally what I'd do. I think one of the questions that I'd ask myself, and I don't know the answer to this, is would I just go back and do consulting and make a few quid for a few years and sort of go, fuck, I'm not jumping back into the pond like 2 feet, feel like I've got a weight tied to my feet sinking to the bottom every day, because that's what sometimes running a startup's like. Would I do that, or would I go and raise money again? And I don't know the answer to that right now, because there's pros and cons from raising and not raising.
Well, I guess it's more of a question of, do you then, so the business failed or whatever happened.
Yep.
Do you then try and build another business, or do you then just get
so there's three things. You get a job.
Yeah.
You work for yourself as a sole trader, part of me wants to become a gas engineer. Like, we've helped gas engineers the last 5 years, and I'm like, I could put every fucking gas engineer out of business in Tamworth. Like, I can go and get a course. Mm. Get myself trained on Gas Safe and know how to market myself as a business owner and put these guys out of business. Just to be really frank about it, like, you either
That's why we help them with those services.
Exactly, because they're accidental business owners. That's why we exist as a business, because there's a problem to solve and we're really good at solving it. So you either go and get a job, be a sole trader, whether it's a contractor or a consultant, or you build a business. So those are three options for people listening to this show. The third option for most people listening to the show is not for most people. Most people like the idea of becoming an entrepreneur and working for yourself, which is great, because you could just do it for yourself as a consultant. The idea of building a team, having responsibilities to other people's salaries, is the stuff of nightmares that keeps you awake at night. And you need a really... you need a really thick skin to ride that out. And that's not for everyone, and I get that. And you need to be self-aware and really understand, are you number one or are you number four in a company? Because there is a fantastic career in both situations for you. One thing that I know for me, if I look at those three options, is I cannot go and work for someone else. There is a 1% chance that after Expert Trades, whatever happens with it, that I go and work for someone else. And that's largely because I know I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I think I've got a skill set to build a team. And I want to do something that I want to do in the world and change and do something new, because that's what's exciting to me. You've seen how flitty I can be. Like when it comes down to the granularity and the detail, I need to bring people around me that can execute against that, against the vision and the strategy, because of what I want to do is I want to keep working on the fun, exciting stuff moving forward. And when you won't work for a corporate or a company, majority of the time you're given a task, you have to do the task, and that doesn't fit my skill set. So to get to the question, Amir, is if I woke up tomorrow, I would do consulting to start with, to buy me some time, and to, as Harry put it, it went very bleak, to buy my family some food, two young kids, a mortgage to pay. And then from there, I would work out what do I want to spend the next 5 years. This is actually going interesting for me right now. I would probably actually do more. I would probably lean into doing a consultancy role for the next 3 to 4 years. Just to give me some more time with the kids, because they're at that age right now. Whereas I think, so my oldest is 5, my youngest is coming up to 3, and the idea of being more in control of my time now, sort of like the 5 to 10 year old gap for Riley, is actually really interesting for me. So I think I would probably be hesitant about starting a scalable venture-backed company at this point in time. I think as the boys get older, and I do some more consulting and I fill in some skill sets that I want to do. And I guess one thing actually come into my head right now, and apologies, it sounds like waffling because it's quite a deep question, is I don't know the next problem that I want to fix. And I think if you woke up tomorrow and there was nothing in the bank, is you can't just jump into doing a startup, because it's so hard to do a startup. It's so, like, what you're trying to build is so bloody hard, like create something new for the world and educate people on how to, like, I think what a startup is very simple, is I think there should be something different in the world that no one's doing right now, and I'm going to build it. Unless you're really passionate about building it, it's too hard to do. So probably use some time, do some consulting, build a network. I'm really bad at my network. I know the construction industry. Outside of that, I'm pretty blinkered, like head in the sand. I just know what I know. So I probably want to spend some time, surround myself with some good people, do some consulting, help people that are in the earlier stages. So I'd want to, part of my like life mission is to sort of make enough money that I can invest into startups. So I want to become an angel investor in the future. One, I think it's exciting. It's a way to stay involved in the young entrepreneur startup scene. But two, I think I can add some value because we've made loads of mistakes, and that's what this show is about. So I'd do some consulting and I'd work for myself as an independent contractor or a consultant until the point I see something in the world that I go, fuck, this needs to change. And then what I'd do is I'd rally the troops, build a team, and then do it all again and try and tackle a big problem and learn from the mistakes that I've clearly made because my company went bankrupt. So I've got an L on my scorecard at this point in time. Top up my skill set, build a network, surround myself with good people, and then take them along the journey with me from a much earlier stage, because it was very lonely for the first 2-3 years of the business. It was just me. And I think if we had a team of 5 to 10 people from day one that were all extremely aligned in terms of what we needed to do, I think we'd probably move a lot faster. So that's probably my answer.
Cool, we'll leave it there. Amir, thanks for the question. Guys, if you have a question, you can email it to questions@startupdiary.club.
You get fired tomorrow. Where do you go? Sorry about this, but let's just go. Let me just put this on you. You get fired tomorrow.
I go to your house, slash your tires.
What happens? Where do you go? Where's the first place you look? This is a hard... And when I answer this question, it's hard.
It's a very difficult question because it's something I would like to not think about.
No, no. But I don't want to think about my company going bankrupt and waking up with no money to put food on my table for my kids. You just put me in that spot. So I'm flipping it back on you, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah, but I think the difference is I'm not a business owner.
So where do you go?
I'm an employee. What do you... So just immediately just find something that pays the bills.
So you'd go and just find a job. But what would you do around... Because you're a fantastic creative. Like, how do you keep that muscle going?
Just keep... What? In what sense?
As in, like, if you had to just go and find a job, are you saying you just go and find a job?
Well, it's one of them. Is like you could go consulting to earn X amount. I would jump into any immediate job that just brings in cash flow, and then try and move out of it. So,
okay,
do you know what I mean? Like, there's I can't consult because I don't think there's enough. Like, if someone hired me for consulting, then they've been swindled.
But someone could hire you for create. Here's a question: like, do you think you've got the chops at this point in time from spending 250 episodes together on this? That if you had to go and get another job, let's say you went and worked at a bar just to pay the bills, do you think you've got enough chops to build yourself a WordPress website, Harrison Mudge Creative, and then start offering video services as a
freelancer? Hundo percent. I just haven't done any of that because I'm working here and I'm just kind of focused
glad you
on
haven't,
that.
Mate.
But like, I agree. I would do the job that brings in some cash flow and then obviously look for a better job that's going to be in the creative side of things, media, maybe.
But you'd look for a better job compared to doing freelance work on the side. As in, do you think you've got the chops to go and win some work? Pitch the work, win the work?
No.
Okay.
In short, just because. I mean, I could probably learn it, but I feel like that is the biggest weak point that I have. So in the initial stages, it would be like join a company and then kind of learn from them how they do business.
Yep.
Because what I've seen you do business deals at this company, but it's not directly relatable.
Yeah, agree.
In sort of the deliverables and things in each client's different, whereas... If you were in like a media company that was doing creative for different companies, you'd learn a bit more of what the selling points are and things like that. So it'd just be a bit more of an applicable skill set that I'd learn on site.
So it'd be like, get a filler job, look for a perfect job, keep your creative muscle flexed to the point that if you decide, actually, I want to learn how to do the whole business role around my creative. Have you got any ambition in the future? And I know this is a hard question because you work with me.
I'm going to stay here forever.
Is it exciting for you to eventually own your own creative business?
I guess, again, I don't think I've ever thought about what that would mean. I know we've spoke about running the creative agency side of the business. I think that is exciting as a prospect because it means different types of clients, which is something we should definitely do.
100%.
So like being in charge of that, it would be cool.
And just to address that.
As a unit though, I'd still like to work with the people that I work with or in this sort of industry because it is still interesting.
But just to address that, and that's sort of, as a founder, what I need to do is build interesting roles and responsibilities in the company. Mm. Because when you hire A players, their level of ambition keeps going up. As you get better, you want more. Mm. And it's not necessarily just cash. You want more responsibility. You want more job satisfaction. Cash always helps. I get that. But sort of in our organization, I'm thinking actually in the long term, we're probably going to have a community part of the business. We're going to have an agency part of the business. And we're going to need to want to run that. And that's why I was like, actually, Harry, there's... And then you're doing some project lead stuff right now and you're learning to manage. So this is all part of a journey of actually making sure that if you're listening to this and you've got a 5, 10, 20 person team, work out where that person wants to get to in the next 5-10 years and then start building a roadmap for them to make that possible and then trust them to do the job.
Yeah, and we in the company, we've got bottlenecks around output in different areas.
Yep.
So for example, like the creative we do for clients is limited because there's only basically one of us in the company that does it. But to bring someone else in right now, we don't bring enough of that work in. So you would need to... That would only ever make sense to bring more people in on that side of the business when we cover more than just one type of client.
Yep.
Like the construction industry alone is only going to give us so many customers. So we would need to branch out in order to need demand for more staffing, basically.
Yeah, well, I think the problem with the niche is, like, I think the construction industry itself is big enough, but the way that we organize our partnerships and relationships is by doing a deal with one client right now. We can't deal with, so let's just say Makita that make drills. If we went and did an exclusive deal with Makita, there's 20 other drill manufacturers that we can't work with, which means there's a really, like, we're very constricted in terms of the client base we can work with. So we can't build a large enough agency to support a large team.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have to revisit that in the future.
If they could, if you could service every manufacturer of the drill,
and we,
then
we crush it at that point. Anything else?
No, mate. No. If you've got a question, you can send it in to questions@startupdiary.club, or you can join the club by going onto Facebook and searching for Startup Diary Club, or the domain, which is facebook.com. Answer the questions when you try and join. There's a great bunch of guys in there. I think I was messaging last night till like 10:30 on a thread. It was just outrageous.
Oh really? I haven't seen this. I was tucked up. I was tucked up with Vicks on my chest.
5%.
I need to go and check that out.
Good.
Guys, thanks for being listening to the show. I'm going to put this ask out here. We're trying to get to 150 reviews. If you listen to this on an iPhone, head over to the podcast app, hit 5 stars, leave us a review and let us know why you listen to the show. We need to get to that 150. We'll read the reviews out. And if you have a business that you run, plug it in there. It's a great way to get thousands of people to know at least about your business name. Help us get to that 150 mark. We hugely appreciate you, your time. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Startup Diary Podcast.